It's great to have everyone here today. My name is Kyle Learman. I handle our education outreach for the White House Office of Public Engagement, and it's so exciting to have all of you here today. To kick things off and get us started today, I'm going to turn things over to a senior advisor to the president who also runs the White House Office of Public Engagement and Intergovernmental Affairs, and someone who I know is so excited to be with all of you here today, Valerie Jarrett.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the White House. We are so happy to have you all here. And our honorees, who I'm going to address in a moment, because of course it's all about you, and I just had a chance to meet them all, are supported by our friends in our labor movement, as well as friends and family, because we know heroes can't be heroes without a lot of support, right? So let's begin by acknowledging all the supporters who are here supporting our heroes, right? So our school support professionals do an amazing job each and every day of helping to care for our children. And I always start with being a mom, because yes, I am a senior advisor to the president, for which I'm extremely grateful. But the most important job I have is being a mother. And knowing that when we send our children to school, it's kind of like having your heart roaming around outside of your body, as the president loves to say. And so knowing that there are people there who are contributing to the environment where they can be safe, learn, develop intellectual curiosity, a passion for learning, all of that happens because of you. Now, Champions of Change, and those on my team know this, is my favorite thing at the White House. And the reason why I love it so much is that it gives us a chance, time after time, to honor ordinary Americans who are doing extraordinary things. And as toxic as Washington, D.C. can be sometimes, the thing that really keeps us going is all of you. And to have a chance to invite you here and give you the recognition that you deserve, so deserve, from the White House, where we know all your local media is so excited because you're here and your family and friends are excited because you're here. But we choose to honor you because of what you do to make our country better. And it's truly just that simple. And you were nominated. There were those who thought that you're doing a terrific job. I've had a chance to look over the resumes, and I'm going to say a little bit about each of you as I introduce you publicly. But you do magic each and every day. And the best part of the champions is that we recognize people who are often our unsung heroes around the country. And we want the rest of the country to know what the people in your communities know. And that's what an amazing difference you each have made and will continue to make. And there are going to be people all around the country who look at you and go, my goodness, I do that too. And maybe if I do it a little harder and a little better, I'll be a champion of change as well. So with that, I am going to recognize each of the champions. I'm going to introduce you all. I'm going to ask you to stand and be recognized. And then I'll have a little bit more to say after we go through our list. So we're going to start with Edward Amons from Tacoma, Washington. Where are you? Stand up so we can. So Edward is a computer and AV technician in the Bethel School District, where he has helped to incorporate digital learning into the student experience for 22 years. You don't look old enough to have done it that long. Congratulations to you. Next, we have Ana Angeles Ferris. Where are you, Angel? Stand up, please. All right. Ana is from Apple Valley, Minnesota. Did I say that right? Minnesota. Thank you. She's a custodian in the Lakeville School District, where she is also involved with their pre-kindergarten program, early childhood family education program, and served as a member of the Lakeville Art Festival community. Congratulations. Next, we have Ted Chidwar from Brussels, Wisconsin. Ted is a bus driver at Southern Door Elementary School, who started the now district-wide Books on the Bus program for students to read on the way to school. Congratulations. Woo! And you're a saint. I was standing here remembering how mischievous we were with our bus drivers when I was growing up. So I could only imagine the stories you could tell when you write your book. Next we have somebody that you've all known for a very long time, or at least you've known his namesake, Gary Cooper. Gary. So Gary is from San Jose, California. He served as a groundskeeper and arborist in the San Jose Evergreen Community College District for over 40 years. Just saying. And as if that is not enough, he also volunteers as a mentor with the Evergreen College Affirm program, which assists students in developing positive self-images. That's very important. Thank you so much, Gary. Next, we have Jeanette Griffin Kimber. Jeanette. Jeanette is from Suwanee, Georgia. She's a substitute teacher coordinator for the Meadow Creek High School, and she's a member of the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, where she connects at-risk high school freshmen with mentors who help them identify scholarship opportunities. Thank you so much, Jeanette. Next, we have Doris Hominda. Doris, where are you? Doris is from Yale, Washington. She's a part of a career and technical education department in the Bethel School District, where she provides students with the resources to help them find their calling, including in underrepresented fields such as, really important to us, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Congratulations, Doris. Next, we have Annie McClintock. Annie, please stand. Annie is from Northport, New York. She's a special education paraeducator at the Harborfields High School. What's a mouthful? For the past 8 years, Annie has coordinated youth volunteers to assemble over 250 bag lunches and breakfast sandwiches every single week in the Huntington Interfaith Homeless Initiative. Congratulations, Annie. Next, we have Doreen McGuire Griggs. Where are you, Doreen? Doreen is from Lakeport, California, and she's a special education paraeducator at the Terrace Middle School. When a fire struck her community, she arranged to have bedding and cooking supplies, clothing and other necessities made available to those in need in her school. Thank you for that service. Next, Debbie Partridge. Debbie. All right, this is our third from California, Modesto, California. It is a big state, so. Debbie is a multimedia technician for the Modesto Junior College, where she oversees audiovisual equipment and other high-tech devices for nearly 200 smart classrooms, as well as for the events and speeches around campus. Thank you so much. Next, we have Cynthia Terracero Sandoval. Cynthia. Cynthia is from Peoria, Arizona, not to be confused with Peoria, Illinois, where I come from. Cynthia is the dropout program coordinator for the Phoenix Union High School, where she helps students stay engaged in school so that they graduate with a high school diploma. She's worked with at-risk youth for more than 20 years. Next, we have Cindy Trillet. Cindy? Cindy is from Royalton, Minnesota. All right, Minnesota and California are winning out so far. Cindy is a middle school special education paraeducator for the Little Falls Community Schools, where she has worked tirelessly for 40 21 years. I know, look at her. Congratulations. And then finally, Margaret Wardo. Margaret, where are you? Now, Margaret is from California. Pronounce the city that you're from for me. Your city in California. Elisa Viego, California. Margaret is an invention paraeducator for the Laguna Beach Unified School District who helps students who need special attention in reading and math, has served as a volunteer crossing guard, and is an active advocate for women and children's issues in her community. Congratulations to you. So, as you can tell, each of you in your own right has accomplished so much over the span of your careers already, and we know that you're just getting started. And so, in closing, I just want to, again, on behalf of the President, everyone here at the White House, my entire teams, tell you how much we appreciate you, your contribution to making America continue to be the great country it is, and the most important thing you do, which is making sure that our young people grow up in that important, healthy environment where they can thrive and grow and eventually come here and do what we do, lead our country. So we're counting on you to help everybody raise the next generation that will pick up that baton. And so once again, for that, we are so grateful. So congratulations to all the champions. One more time. Absolutely. Standing ovation for the champions. Champions can stand too. As you can see, I don't want to give up the podium. This is as good as my day is going to possibly get. And so I hate to leave you, but I leave you in really good hands. We're going to have a chance to have panel discussions with our champions so that we can dive a little bit more in detail into what they do, what makes them so extraordinary, why we want everybody who's watching online to pay close attention so that they can emulate your good work back in their communities across our country. And so to kick us off, I'm going to bring back up Kyle. Thank you so much, everyone.
And I just want to briefly welcome Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick. Thank you so much for joining in for, over there. Thank you so much for joining and for helping us celebrate these incredible champions today. You know, the most important thing about our Champions of Change program is hearing from the champions and hearing about the work that they are doing in their communities to make a difference every day. And so we are gonna have two panels here where we hear from the champions, their stories, the work that they do day in and day out. And frankly, what we wanna do is spread that as much as we can across the country so that everyone can hear their stories, be inspired to do a little bit more every day, because that's what these champions do. So with that, I'm gonna call up our champions. Can we have Doreen, Edward, Cindy, Ted, Cynthia, and Margaret come on up? And to lead this first panel, we have someone who has been here with the President since day one. Roberto Rodriguez is Deputy Assistant to the President and leads all of our education policy work here at the White House. So I know he's so excited to be here and to lead this first panel of the champions. Roberto, come on up.
Thank you very much, Kyle. All right, good afternoon, everybody. What a great looking bunch. So good to be here. Congratulations again to our outstanding champions. I am thrilled to have the privilege of kicking off this first panel. You know, as Kyle mentioned, part of what we want to do here is have a chance to hear the stories and the contributions to student learning and success that each of our champions make in their day-to-day. We have conversations here at the federal level about the importance of supporting our students every step of the way. Those conversations often focus on the importance of teacher leadership and teacher development. They often focus on the importance of supporting our principals, on the important role that our superintendents and that others in our school system play. But it is our school support professionals that make such a difference in the lives of our students each day, in, you know, meeting them, regardless of whether they're meeting them as they're beginning their trek to school or often the last face that they'll say goodbye to before heading home, reaching them throughout the day, making sure they are safe, supported, well cared for, well fed, and that they have every chance to be successful in the classroom and in their learning outside of the classroom. So thank you all so very much for all you do so well. We are thrilled and honored to have you here today. I'm going to just begin, why don't we begin here with Doreen? And I'm going to ask you to, you know, you bring collectively years of experience working in the field of school support. Just share with us briefly why the work that you do is so important and why our school support professionals play such a critical role in the development and the success of our students in school. And we'll begin with you, Doreen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm Doreen McGuire Grigg. I live in the poorest county in California. I work every day with our students to make sure that they're supported and challenged. As a special education paraeducator, it's really important for them to be supported and challenged so they're able to one day go and live on their own. That is my goal, is to work with middle school students like I do and to see them graduate and go on and live on their own. That's why it's important. Thank you.
Thank you. Edward.
My name is Edward Amos, and my role in the class, in the school, is making sure that all students are not interrupted while they're working in the classroom. And with that, I take care of all of the equipment, the computer's equipment, and anything in the equipment, I'm able to resolve the problem if they come up with one. I look at the classroom probably different than you look at a classroom. You probably look at a classroom as just a classroom. I look at that classroom as a classroom that a student needs to learn without interruptions. So proud of them if they have to do a test. My job and what I like to do is make sure everything works, because it's so frustrating for a kid to come to basically a computer, turn it on, and it doesn't work. That may upset his whole day. So my thing is for every classroom and every kid to have a great day every day in the classroom.
Thank you very much. Go to you, Cindy.
Hi, I'm Cindy Treadle, and I work in the district that I went to school at for the last 41 years. As a paraprofessional, my role has really changed in the fact that I support all students, and I support especially special ed kids. I find their unique abilities and what they're strong at, and work on that, and then integrate things that I can teach them, like tools for taking a test or tools for doing notes, how you highlight things. My job is to support the whole student.
Hi, I'm Ted Shodwar, and as a bus driver, and I'll speak for all bus drivers, we are that first face, that first smiling, welcoming face that the children see when they get on the bus in the morning. And so we make certain that we know their name, and we want to make them feel comfortable. And we started a program where they have books in the seat with them. For 4 and 5 year olds, that is about the quickest way for them to feel like they're right at home. They sit down, they can pull a book out that's right there in front of them, and they feel safe, they feel supported, and it's a tool that we can use to create a relationship with them right away. Because that's gonna be the most important thing, is for them to feel connected, especially to that first person they see, the bus driver, and when they like you, they're going to listen well and not distract the bus driver. And we're going to keep them safer that way.
Great. Thank you so much, Ted.
Good afternoon. My name is Cynthia Tercero Sandoval. I'm from Peoria, Arizona, and I'm the Dropout Prevention Coordinator for the Phoenix Union High School District. As the coordinator, my role is to ensure that students stay in school by eliminating barriers to learning, so they not only experience academic success, but more importantly, our students graduate from high school.
Thank you.
My name is Margaret Water, and I'm from Laguna Beach Unified School District. I am the intervention paraeducator through the K-5 program. That is a program specifically designed for students that are below reading. And we do assessments which help those students to get into the tier levels that they can get the support they need. I also, as mentioned, do the traffic guard duty in the morning and do an after-school program 4 days a week. So I am one of those people that the students see first thing in the morning and last time when they're going home on the bus. So I'm very fortunate to be in that district. I am a parent, and I have raised my daughter within the Laguna Beach District, and she is a member, a graduating member of the Laguna system.
Great, thank you. So, you know, Doreen and Cindy, you both mentioned your experience and work with some of our students with disabilities. And I think if we think about the diverse learning needs of our students, you all have some connection, you know, including, you know, supporting our students who might be at risk of dropping out or below grade level. You all have some dedication and commitment in your work to really helping some of our most vulnerable students in our schools and in our systems connect and get ahead. Can you talk a little bit about the role that you play in creating a safe environment and connecting, creating the environment where you can actually connect individually with your students to help them express themselves, give them the confidence that they might need to be able to be successful? I wonder, I know you have some stories. You brought some stories with you today.
Absolutely.
But would love to hear a couple of those, and we can start with you, Doreen, but just from any of our panelists.
It's constantly a challenge working with special needs students. I was raised in the district, I went through my school. My father was an administrator, and my brother's a teacher in a neighboring district. They all know what it's like to support special needs students. So when I'm there at school, my students are my life. I hold them up, and I challenge them daily to do what they need to do to survive. To stand up on the playground for themselves, because a lot of times they get bullied.
Right.
And it's pretty fun to watch their classmates come surround them from behind, because they get it. They know what it's like to be bullied, so they surround them, and then they stop the bullying. And it works. And we have other kids in the regular education classes that also do the same thing. They come up and they take care of our kids that are out there. If they're not supported and loved at school, they won't come. They won't come to school. They'll get sick at home, and we have to deal with all of that. It's so much nicer just to have them at school, supporting them and challenging them to do the right thing and to be successful in their lives.
Yeah, thank you. Others?
I think that, is it on you? I think that growth comes with experience, and by allowing your student to experience the failures as well as the triumphs is huge. We as adults, we grow through our experiences, whether they're comfortable or not, we grow through that. And by allowing students to experience that, oh yeah, I got this wrong, but you know, next time if you do this, this, and this, and give them those tools, and man, the first time they bring that test up that they took on their own and they got a good grade and they have to come and show you is just huge. It's just huge.
You know, I think a lot of times we hear other support staff say that they're just a bus driver or they're just a custodian.
Yes.
And we try to remind them and keep it in your own mind always that in some sense you're teaching also.
Absolutely.
And so on the bus again, we encourage older children to read to the younger ones, and it benefits both of those age groups. And I like to tell the story of Ashlyn, who was a fourth grader, and she was, I asked her if she wouldn't read to two of my 4K kids, and she did. But when she got off, she had something to tell me. She said, "Well, you know, you wanted me to read to them, but they didn't want me to read to them. They wanted to read to me," she said. And she said, "But when they were reading to me, they weren't reading the words off the page. They were making it up." And I had to compliment her again on allowing those kids to use their imagination.
Right. There you go.
That's our job as support staff, not just to view ourselves as a bus driver or a custodian, because we do teach.
Right.
Well, the reality is that the landscape of education has changed, and education support professionals play a critical role. Not all of our students come to school ready to learn and prepared. I wish that was the case. I think of a student, we did a home visit on a student who had missed 3 consecutive weeks at school, and I think there are misconceptions that sometimes students don't come to school either because they don't have the ability or they don't have the desire, and that's not the case. This particular student, the family didn't have running water. And after a few days, he was more worried that students would notice his body odor and just refused to come to school. I say that's a simple fix. There's a lot of things that we can do in school. Our schools have gyms. We have lockers. So we provided him with some toiletries. We provided him with a locker. We opened the gym early so he could come to school without anyone knowing and have a shower, something we all sometimes take for granted. And for that student, that changed his attendance, that brought him back to school, perfect attendance, and he graduated from high school. So sometimes it's not about a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about going into the community, talking to the family, talking to our students, and finding out what their individual needs are, and then helping them be successful.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I find in the diversity of kindergarten through fifth grade in small groups that engagement is really the key to keeping those students connected. So, how do you do that? One of the things that I've found that works extremely well and connects the student with the lesson is a motivating system of points. And we use a die, and they get to earn their points. And through the generosity of one of our foundations called School Power, I was awarded a certain amount of money. And in my intervention group, we decided to buy a treasure chest. Now, I know that that may sound reward and motivation, but you'd be surprised what a small little piece of plastic can do to motivate a child for behavior, for learning, for completing the project. It's just overwhelming. And whoever wins at the end of the week, they're all thankful for that person. So it's a sharing and trusting and learning about bonding together. More little things that children need to learn in the classroom.
It's wonderful. Thank you. And, you know, it strikes me, you're all describing strategies around how we reach and support our students and support their social and emotional well-being, which is so increasingly being recognized as so important to their success in school and in life. And I'm glad there's finally some recognition about the importance of those issues, because we know on a day-to-day just how important they are. And you're finding ways to do this really creatively and meeting kids where they are. I don't know at what point you're able to do the small group breakout, but, you know, whether it's that or Ted, your example of really reaching kids just as they're getting on the bus and taking advantage of that bus ride to instill mentorship, support, creativity, and literacy. So can you describe, I wonder if any of you have experience in sharing these strategies with other professionals in your school or in your district. Can you describe the impact that some of these strategies have had on your peers, whether it's other school support staff or teachers or even the principal in your building? Have there been techniques or interventions that you think folks have really taken a hold of and run and spread with, and how has that helped students be successful?
In my district, in Phoenix Union High School District, we're an inner city. We have 27,000 students. Almost 90% of our students are on free and reduced lunch. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that people have sometimes criticized us for, as school budgets get smaller and smaller, is that we've continued to spend about a large percentage of our budget on student school support staff, because we know how critical the supports that our education support professionals and student services staff play in connecting students to academic success. So we've been really fortunate to create some positions and have staff who are able to go out and do home visits, who are able to sit and build relationships with students so we understand the needs. We can no longer have a predetermined list of what at-risk means or what those students need to help them be successful. It truly is about building relationships. And our teachers are under so much pressure with standardized testing and other issues, they don't have the time and our class time to do what they used to and build relationships, get to know your students. So they truly rely on education support professionals to ensure that not only all of our students are academically successful, but that they all graduate from high school.
Yeah. Edward, I know you wanted to get in here as well.
I would like to add the part about supported them with our technology needs. Now students with maybe disabilities, ones who cannot hear or need extra help, they have the chance now, the option of using an iPad, or they have the option of using a laptop. We can configure that laptop so that the student can hear by touch. We can configure that laptop so as he or she reads, it follows along the whole guideline. So we teach the some of the parents how to make sure you have that choice of making sure that this laptop or this iPad will work, because technology is now moving forward, so we must keep the kids moving forward with the technology that we have.
Very good. Thank you.
I know when my wife and I, as parents, were considering putting our daughter on the bus, we were very concerned about what the environment was going to be on that bus.
Right.
A lot of people wonder, what's their child going to learn on that bus? And so we coined a phrase with our Books on the Bus program that education starts the moment that student steps on the bus. For some of our students, that's an hour, one way. So we felt we needed to do something to make that time more worthwhile. And so it was through collaboration with our reading specialist in the school that we came up with the fact that this was a program that we should put to the public to acquire our books. And the passionate response we got from the public showed that we should develop this. And it's amazing how everybody's on board. has gone to many, many school districts, and it's such an easy thing to implement, and because it's just a great idea.
Great. I love that. So that's trickled up to the reading specialist and ultimately across districts to other districts in terms of literacy.
Correct.
So what a wonderful example.
So in my district, a lot of the students were being trained in bullying, anti-bullying behavior,
right,
as well as the certificated members and the administrators, but I noticed that our classified staff wasn't being trained. So I was able to bring in the Bully Free It Starts With Me training for the classified staff. So they were able to share strategies as well, and then we were able to go back in and collaborate with our teachers, which was finally something meaningful for us. It was,
yes,
it was wonderful.
Good.
I think continuous training for support staff is a must. Districts need to do that. And any time that you can get paraprofessionals together or kitchen help together, kitchen staff together, and they can talk about what they do in different ways that they've handled things, that's huge, because that's experience that you're exchanging with other people. And then you get those strategies, and once you've kind of seen them, then you've done them, and it works nice, you know.
Right.
But I think the training is very important.
Right.
I would say within the professional learning centers that have been created, the concept of a time when the credentialed teacher and the paraeducator can work together on the strategy of the week, that allows the paraeducator to be right next door in the mindset with the teacher as to what the lessons are going to be and how she can provide that extra little bit, whether front loading or back loading, to that student that has those needs. And again, I'm working with students who are slightly below benchmark, but to see the self-esteem when a student goes back to the classroom and has their hand first up because they know the answer, that's an achievement. That's when they come back out at break time and say, "Miss Water, I knew it." And it just warms your heart. That's that giving every day.
Good. Well, and we're talking now a little bit, we're getting into some of these real issues around training and access to training. You know, and let's be real about the conversation. I think, you know, it is, you've shared some amazing strategies and experiences, but
it is too often the case in a lot of our schools where our school support staff or our classified employees are not either included at the table around training, are not included and valued as full members of their staff. I wonder if you could share with us your reflections on how we can do better and how our schools can do better in terms of recognizing the contributions. Was there a moment in any of your particular careers where that light went on for the school principal or for other peers in your building about, wow, this is, you know, we need more time to collaborate together around this challenge, and we need to think about how we can fully utilize our school support staff as, you know, for all the potential that they bring in terms of helping our students be successful? How do we change that culture and push back on that a bit?
So I'm fortunate that I work with a very inclusive superintendent in my district.
Yes.
She does what she can to include us. There's not always funding to do that. The fact that they've offered training to our special education paraeducators now once a month for 2 hours has been great for them. More meaningful collaboration with the people we work with and our partners in education would really be great. And another thing that I think would be absolutely amazing, I love that we're here for Champions of Change. I think it would be great if we had a National Classified School Employee of the Year Award given by the president.
Thank you.
I like that idea. I endorse that. Other reflections?
Just what we're, yes. What the NEA has done for us here, recognizing the contributions of a few. It's an honor, but it's dedicated, you know, we want to dedicate ourselves to people understanding that there's thousands of other support staff out there that need to know how important their work is. And this helps for them to recognize that. It helps for the administration of schools to recognize that. I try to inspire the new board members every spring when the new members are seated at the table that include us, because we may have the answer. We have solutions.
Well, that's precisely why we're here. Yes. That is precisely why we're here today and why we're hosting this Champions of Change event. And we're just really honored to be able to lift this up. And our objective is to really put more of a spotlight on the important role that our school support staff play in the lives of our students and our learners.
To answer your
Margaret,
question
yes.
about professional learning and development, all members within the school district, certificated and classified, mm-hmm. need to be constantly trained, educated in what's happening. Professions are changing. IT of today is not IT what it was 10 years ago. What an instructional assistant's job was is not what we do today. Even the custodians, there's more responsibility for safety, being concerned on the campus, nutrition with the support for the students, administrative clerical staff, all the, let's just say, red paperwork that is required now because of finances. Everyone that works in the district needs to be constantly being trained. Again, I am very fortunate to work in a collaborative school district where professional development is part of our goals. When there is something happening, the door is open to go to the superintendent or assistant superintendent of instruction or from the business side and let them know about it, whether it's maintenance and operations that need some training, and we sit down and we discuss it. That's my attitude. You go in, you ask. They can always say no,
right.
But usually if you ask, the process starts to happen. And again, I am very fortunate to be in that situation, but I credit that to the collaborative effort that we have established, and that's a earn the right to be able to ask those questions.
Great.
One way our district includes a support staff is that everybody in the district is invited to join committees, you know, whether it's on the school calendar or whatever, and everybody's invited to be on that. so that we're kind of all on the same page, know what's going on, know what new things are happening or whatever, and that's, and we get a lot of emails on what's going on for the day or going on next week or whatever from everybody. That really is, being a part makes us feel like a part of it.
That's great.
So
that's great.
We can take ownership of that.
Yes. And, you know, I know both Margaret, you and Edward alluded to the role of technology. I mean, I think of our school support professionals as also really leading the change in innovation, bringing new ideas that bridge students' experiences, because you are in touch with their experiences. You are developing those deep relationships with your students and bring those experiences into the classroom and help to inform and instill change among the broader teaching faculty in your schools. So, you know, our students today are digital natives. Technology is, you know, the beginning and end for them in terms of their lives. I wonder if you could reflect a bit on the role that you see technology playing in the lives and in the learning of our students, and whether you've mounted any strategies or that have really worked in terms of helping our students be successful there.
Yes, with technology constantly changing, and within my district, we passed a technology bond, and with that particular bond, that means every student will have an iPad. So with that iPad, students so far, we've started from 12th grade down to 5th grade. Each one of the students have the entire homework on that iPad. So when it does not work, we find out, and they can let us know. We're able to do a lot of it just remotely. The student tells us what's the problem, so they would never have the excuse of, I can't get to my homework. No.
That's true.
We can get to your homework, and then you can get to your homework.
Uh-huh, there you go.
So we're constantly changing.
A little bit of an accountability mechanism there,
yes.
Too. That's good. That's good.
I also have the luxury of working in the summers in the IT department with some IT background that I have.
Great.
And we also are at a one-to-one on our student technology. Therefore, that requires more people in the technology department being available, because it's the teacher who's working and they can't get the TV on. That doesn't make the lesson go very well, but we have the people in place. Using technology in the role I have is, I have iPads that I use with my students. They are digital people. We have the lesson, the reading lesson, learning the keywords, but then we have to go out and look at the pictures. So I take the iPads and we find the pictures, whether it's the volcano or the tectonic plates, they all love that word, that's happening, and we get to see it firsthand right there on the internet. And the after-school program that I run is all internet-based, and that gives children a whole other concept of learning and understanding using good technology.
I've wondered if in the future, as we think about how to develop our Books on the Bus further, I've wondered, will the cost of an iPad be so cheap in the future that we'd want to replace books with that? And I think we've come to the conclusion, no, we want to have the students have the books in their hands. And because that is what the public likes to give, is the books that their children outgrew. With Dee and I, it was our daughter Alicia's books. And they meant a lot to us because we read them to them. And we're so happy to see that other children now are benefiting from this. And there's one quote I recently came across that said, a child that reads is an adult that thinks. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who to attribute that to, but I know how important that is.
Yes. Well, you know, I think this is really the spirit around improving literacy and also supporting greater use of technology in our schools. It's been something the president's focused quite a bit on, is through his Connect Ed vision, is how do we connect each of our schools to high-speed broadband, give them that opportunity to connect to the world outside of school, but also make sure that you know, and that early appreciation around reading and book appreciation is such a tactile thing. It's really important to develop that early. You all are giving back. You're giving to your students quite a bit. You know, and you're also instilling a spirit among the students that I've heard here around giving to others, right? If you think about your program, Ted, around what you're asking your learners to do every morning in terms of mentoring younger children on the bus. It's a form not only of their academic development, but of giving back. I wonder if you could, how do you encourage your students to be involved in their communities? How do you send that signal to your students about the importance not only of their well-being, but of caring for others?
I do a simple thing in the morning. I see my kids in the morning, and I see them at the end of the day. So it's, you know, good morning, how are you, glad you're here. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, have a good day, have a good night, and can't wait to see you tomorrow morning. And the other day I was had gotten the message from the White House, and I was standing there, you know, the kids were leaving off their bus, and I wasn't kind of paying attention. And one of the kids turns around and said, have a good night, Mrs. Treadle. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
There you go.
You know, and it's just, it grows.
Passing it on.
Yeah, it grows.
So living in such a small community where I live, we have a lot of, like, we have Friday night concerts in the park in the summer. We have Memorial Day Parade. And the best part to me is when I'm there in the community and the kids run up and say, well, it's Miss Doreen, and they introduce me to their families. When they see me in the grocery store, sometimes they like to look what's in my basket. That's not always, but
they're curious.
They're very curious, but they know that I'm human and that I'm there for them. I work in the community that I live in, and it's huge to them to be able to see me on the streets with them.
I mean, you're basically saying you're a living example of what it means to give back to the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Other thoughts on giving back?
Only that in this program, I have seen now that the students have so bought into it that they bring their own books from when they were younger. Oh. For other children to enjoy.
Yeah.
I had one child when she was in 5K, brought a bag full of books on in the morning, and she's one of those that's on an hour, and she plopped them in my lap and said, I don't need these anymore. But that night, when she saw other kids enjoying her books and how they were really, really enjoying them, when she got off, she told me, I think they really love my books.
That's so great. That's great.
I think what's exciting for me is students who've participated in either our support groups or some of our alternative programs who then come back and want to give back to the students, and because it helped them so much. That we have an employee who is in maintenance, mm-hmm. and he came to get trained to be a facilitator for our support groups. And I had not known this because I didn't recognize him because he looked so different, but what he shared in the group, I always ask, what made you want to be a group facilitator? And he shared that when he was a student 12 years earlier, he was in our alternative to long-term suspension program, and it changed his life. And so as a maintenance, he wanted to give back. And sometimes the struggles that we have is people are put into categories and by job categories, and part of the conversation started with, well, should a maintenance staff really be the one to facilitate a support group? And I'm constantly advocating, regardless of your job title, absolutely, because that student benefited from this, or no longer a student, but this adult benefited from this program and wants to give back. Who better to come back and mentor our young men and to share their success from participating in some of these groups? So I think that, again, is another really critical role that our education support professional play, because they often want to come back. They benefited from the relationships, from the programs, and they want to be involved.
I love that. That's great.
Edward. In my community, I pretty much like to give back, but I give back through the sports program more than anything else. I like to, for our students to know that I can help them in sports. I am a referee for football, girls basketball, and also do the Special Olympics.
Right.
So this way, students, they can see me pretty much anywhere. And some students always like to know, how did you get started? So I like to try to help that student maybe become a referee when I retire. So give me time to go.
Yes. I mean, each of your stories is just so inspiring in terms of what you give your students and how you connect to the fabric of their lives and their communities, and the values you instill that are such an important part of their learning and their growth and their development. We often focus so much on academics, but the reality is we're about much more than that in public education. Pretty straightforward. If you could motivate administrators to be more attentive to one thing in their schools or in their students' lives, or one factor in the work that you do, what would that one thing be? We will start with you, Dory.
Thank you. I think that meaningful, true collaboration and professional development for the all of the education support professionals in the district, in every district. It's so important for us to work together as a team. And so in order to have all of our administrators look at us and say, you are part of the team, let's do this together, that's my dream.
Great. Thank you.
Because I'm in the IT department, my main thing is to make sure that my supervisor and above communicate with us. Because if there's something new, I want to know about it before it gets to the classroom, because I don't want to wait to the last minute to do it. So as long as we have both communication going up and communications coming down, then I feel comfortable.
Thank you.
I think my wish would be to that the collaboration that we have as a district would continue. Even when there's new board members or whatever, that it would continue, that they would continue including us with questions that they have and including us to do things out of our normal job so that we can help kids in other ways and feel good about doing that. And our district's really good. My dream would have that continue.
Very good. Thank you.
My wife and I enjoyed a visit with our congressman this morning, Mr. Reed Ribble, and we went through then the Capitol. And a number of places, the slogan "E pluribus unum" mm-hmm. is listed. From many parts, there is one, and I think that's the same in schools. There's many parts: there's the educators, the support staff in all of its various job duties, the school board, the administration, and as they have to realize, the administration does need to realize that we play a huge role in that. At Southern North, we are blessed to have that. Mrs. Vickman includes us in most everything, loves to see that we get honored in this fashion, and I wish that was the case at all schools.
There you go. Thank you, Ted.
I think that administrators and local politicians and legislators need to understand that education school professionals play a direct role in academic success. Our schools employ a variety of staff who equally are important and equally contribute to students' academic success. Just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a team of educators to educate the whole child. I think one of the ways that we directly impact a student's success, but it also impacts a community. If our students graduate from high school, that could be the difference from being on a pathway to prison or a pathway to post-secondary or a successful career. So that impacts a community as well. And I think that we need to remember that and need to understand that there is a direct correlation. Academics and education support professionals or the learning that takes place outside of the classroom are equally important.
Again, I've said that we really do work in a very collaborative relationship, and the door is open to go in and ask new things. One of the things that I think would be fun to start, we are going to have a new superintendent. Our superintendent, Dr. Smith, is retiring, is to start a shadowing program. And that was done a few years ago, and people, that's kind of fun. But to really go and see what the other person is doing. It may sound like, gee, they're getting the food in the nutritional department, but when they're picking up those heavy trays with all the food on it, this is not that easy. Or when the sub caller is getting one person after another that we don't have enough subs to fill, and her frustration of trying to then move classified employees into certificated positions because we do have a crossover in that area. We're very fortunate. Those little stresses of the day that the person that's at the classified level, if the, I believe the superintendents, the administrators saw that, they would then go, maybe when they do ask for an extra employee in that series, or there is a time frame needed, or the instructional assistant that's with an RSP special ed child that may need to only have a 3-hour block with that student and then break it up for another 3 hours. Again, those are things that simply just have to be asked for. Right. I don't think people are resistant to them. I think sometimes we just don't ask. And that's my attitude, is awareness, advocacy, and action. And that's what makes things happen.
Great. Greater communication, stronger collaboration, more meaningful professional development. The ability, I heard through all of your remarks, the ability to really embrace the concept of working together as a team on behalf of our learners. I am, for one, much more inspired by the work you do. I know you inspire each of your students each and every day. Thank you so much for being with us. Join me in thanking and acknowledging our champions of change.